This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Live and Learn with me, Dashran Johan. Wiki Impact is a new online platform dedicated to the impact industry. They share stories and data on issues that matter, highlighting impact-driven organizations and change makers on the ground. So joining me today on the show to talk about this new platform is Deborah Chan, one of the co-founders of Wiki Impact. Welcome to the show, Deborah. How are you doing?
Hey, thank you so much. I'm doing great. I think we're coming out of the pandemic, so that's really good news. All is good. I'm really excited to be talking about Wiki Impact this afternoon.
Yes, and I'm very excited to have you on and talk to you about this because it's a really, really cool platform. Now, Deborah, let's start from the top. I guess I gave like a one-liner sort of introduction of Wiki Impact, but perhaps you can paint a better picture for us. What exactly is Wiki Impact?
Absolutely. So maybe if I could just give you, weave in a little bit of the backstory of how Wiki Impact came about as well before jumping into what it is. Essentially, it is what you said it is, right? It's an online platform for the impact industry currently for Malaysia to serve change makers for purpose-led progress and to connect them better with the contributors across Malaysia and also worldwide. So it was founded in 2020. Wiki Impact really started off with a realization from the three co-founders of years of experience on the ground in community development and social service and social impact. Some of the gaps that we started realizing over the years, right, of being in that space. And if I could just kind of backtrack a little bit, back in 2014, I left my corporate job as a sustainable tourism consultant. And I wanted to do a little bit more work kind of in the social impact space. And so I basically, you know, took a sabbatical, raised funds and partnered up with an NGO in Cambodia called Legacy of Hope International. And I spent actually a year kind of, you know, kind of fitting myself into that space and again, wanting to learn more about the social impact work. I think everybody goes through that phase of life where you kind of ask yourself, you know, what's my purpose in life? I want to do a little bit more, right? And so that was my sabbatical. And after post 1 year after that, then came, you know, the stint in Cambodia extended into 2 years. And that learning curve for me in that social impact space was really steep. I learned what it was like to be on the ground, really meeting with communities, what it is like, you know, really getting my hands dirty and not just kind of fundraising for the sake of fundraising, but really understanding the needs on the ground, listening to the needs of the people and hearing, you know, their lifestyles, what they go through and what they actually need. So the learning curve for me and the lessons learned was just immense. Post 2 years after that, I thought I would return to my corporate job in KL. But what happened was that another NGO contacted me and got in touch with me to learn. They learned about my work in Cambodia and they had just started a work in Sabah, in KK, working with rural children in Sabah. And so, you know, they wanted kind of just to introduce me to the work and to see if there's an opportunity for us to work together. Long story short, that was kind of like, you know, the next leap of my career into the right. Social space, right? Where I spent another 4 years in rural Sabah building hostels, working specifically for this foundation and building hostels. Again, the learning curve was very steep. And during that time, in that 4 years, and again, that 2 years in Cambodia, I think, you know, gathering kind of like the lessons learned, what I realized that in the social impact space, whether globally or in Malaysia itself, evidently there are a few gaps. And if I can just kind of, you know, hone in on some of the gaps, I think one of it was actually the lack of data or the access to data for change makers on the ground. And by change makers, what I mean is, you know, NGOs, foundations, people really in the action of creating positive change on the ground, whether it's social or environmental impact, right? There was a lack of easy to access and easy to digest data. And what I mean by data is numbers as well as soft data. So I suppose, you know, if you are a change maker and you're listening to this, right, you would understand that number one, data is not easy to find. And two, it takes time to go through that process to be able to, you know, gather, you know, either numbers or stories from people on the ground. And and I think, you know, the Malaysian government is doing a great job in a sense of, you know, DOSM and JKM and other government bodies. And they are bringing in the numbers, you know, the number of people in poverty, the social ills and so forth. But I think in general, I think data is kind of fragmented and it's maybe all over the place. So, yeah, one of the gaps that we I started realizing, and this is, you know, this is also something that the other two co-founders, we were also sharing over a coffee table kind of chat, right? That if change makers were to be more empowered with good data, how much greater would that their impact be in terms of decision making? You know, where do they put their resources? How much money should go into which community and so forth, right? So right. There was a gap with data. And I think the other thing that was also kind of lacking as well was, or rather a challenge was the lack of synergy between change makers on the ground. So what I found, for at least from my personal experience, was that in that 6 years of really being on the ground and getting my hands dirty, it was so easy to kind of get bogged down on the day-to-day because the needs are so great. And you are kind of really on the grind and you're hustling, you know, and you're kind of just meeting the needs on the ground, you know, linking up with corporate partners, speaking to villagers and, you know, and so forth. And so, you know, just day in, day out, the grind is real. But I think if there could be greater synergy between change makers who are working in that space itself. So an example would be I was in rural Sabah and I realized that, you know, the communities that I was working with was in great need of better financial literacy, you know, information or knowledge, right? And I wasn't about to, you know, I wasn't about to come up with a program on my own, right? But I had to dig and basically just go through Google to find out who are the other change makers in Malaysia also offering financial literacy programs to either, you know, specific to rural communities. And I had to go through, like, you know, Google page after page to kind of find that information and then connect with the change makers who are actually doing it. And then to ask them if I could use their material so that I don't need to reinvent the wheel and to give them credit for the material that is used, but then to use the material and then to, you know, provide training and knowledge for the rural communities that I was working with. Right. So what I'm saying is that I think if information was there for change makers to know who is working within their space and their area of focus, as well as the community or the districts or, you know, the locality that they are stationed in, how much greater would that synergy be in order to, you know, amplify the impact on the ground? And with that, you know, I think synergy, you can also eliminate a lot of overlaps in terms of resources being used and but also shared resources. How can we share resources better as change makers on the ground? So as a result of those two, I think major pain points or gaps that we realized, that was how Wiki Impact came about. We wanted to be able to provide an open source platform for change makers to be able to access information easily and free, of course, you know, without paying for a single cent. And by easily, what I mean is that, you know, information is given to them in bite-sized pieces, easy to understand, where it is relatable. And also visually presentable, because I think, you know, you and I would understand nowadays in our day and age, we are bombarded with so much information left, right, and center, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of us don't really go through white papers to get our information. If you know, correct me if I'm wrong. And I don't think, you know, a lot of us would spend our free time mulling through, you know, pages of white papers or even research papers that I think academicians have done a really good job. And how can we elevate that good work that they have done, you know, in terms of policy recommendations and even findings that they have found on the ground, right? How can we take those findings and present it to the change makers so that they themselves can, you know, maybe crunch through that data and actionize it on the ground for the good work that they are doing, change makers are doing on the ground. So with that, I think Wiki Impact really wanted to be able to present data in a very easy to digest way. And hence why, you know, we have an IG platform that is that, you know, it's just a bunch of, you know, really good, credible information on social issues in Malaysia. And it is in carousels and it's easy for people to digest. On top of that, I think on our website as well, you'll be able to find bite-sized articles as well as some interactive maps, right, where people can actually, you know, go through to actually understand what are the pressing social issues in Malaysia, where are the hotspots in Malaysia, and should I want to make change, where do I start and how do I start? So that's in a nutshell of what Wiki Impact is. And that was how we started basically in the thick of the pandemic, sometime in 2020. And further to that, I think we also continued to innovate. And at the moment, just two months ago, we relaunched the website to enable change makers to basically open up and use the platform for their own good. So instead of just Wiki Impact, the team kind of inputting information, what the website now enables change makers to do is that now, if you identify yourself as a change maker, you can open up a profile, you can set up a profile and put in information, anything from news, events that you are organizing, even job opportunities within your company, internship opportunities, volunteer opportunities, and also experiences or even products that you are selling that has an impact on communities or even the environment. So we're really just enlarging that space so that change makers can amplify that voice. And what Wiki Impact hopes to do is to then, you know, take the information that the change makers have inputted onto our website and to then, you know, disseminate it to a larger audience. Right. So that's the exciting thing that we have just launched over the last 2 months.
Right. Now, you brought up something interesting, and it's something we hear a lot when we talk about, let's say, social issues in Malaysia and all that. And this idea of lack of data. What exactly is the problem here? And what are the challenges of gathering data in Malaysia?
Great. Yeah. So I think there really, the problem with data is that we know that data is so powerful, and we know that profit-making companies are actually paying for data in order for them to grow, you know, multifolds in terms of their profit-making business. But if you think about it, if the change-making space, if the impact industry can utilize this data, right, for good, how much greater can that impact be on the ground? And so some of the challenges really is the fragmentation of data. I speak at least in the case of this nation, Malaysia, I think data is found in different pockets, whether it is in government websites or it is sitting in even change makers themselves, right? So I'll give you an example. We were speaking to a change maker on the ground who has, you know, umpteen years of experience in the kind of like food bank space, Kachara Soup Kitchen. They have been knocking on doors and, you know, feeding the homeless, reaching out to the marginalized in downtown KL as well as in other states, right? And so with that, I think they have tons of, you know, soft as well as quantitative data that is just within kind of like, you know, their offices or in reports somewhere where perhaps maybe change makers like them don't really know where to share them. They can share them probably in blog posts or maybe if they are are given a space to speak, they can share about it. But is there a centralized place where, you know, where people can input data and they can, you know, share freely the data? And that's why an open source platform is so important. And that's why, you know, hopefully that problem of fragmentation can slowly come together where, you know, it's actually a more organized space where, you know, you pull in data that is specific to the impact industry and hopefully, you know, people will be able to make sense of it. So that fragmentation is sitting in some Excel sheet somewhere. So when we first started Wikimpact, I think it's also quite a learning journey for us as co-founders as well. When we were trying to make data more, you know, visually more appealing, we had to scour through like tons of, you know, kind of Excel sheets that are in government websites as well as in various other kind of research companies, right? And really for us to take that time to read through that data, crunch the data, and make sense of it. It takes a lot of time, and I think for a lot of change makers on the ground, as well as I think for contributors as well. And by saying contributors, I think that what I'm meaning is, you know, people with time, resources, and the financial capacity to pump into the impact industry, they probably don't have time to go through all of that information as well. And so if you know, people who want to be involved in that impact space, how much easier would it be if, you know, people can just go to a one-stop place or one-stop center and to access information like that? So fragmentation is one of the problems that we're trying to at least, you know, solve here in terms of data. And I think hopefully with the coming together of the data, what we also hope to do is we want to encourage people to share information and data and yeah, to make it free and accessible for all, right? Because at the end of the day, it really is for the greater good.
On the show with me today is Deborah Chan. She's the co-founder of Wiki Impact. After the break, I'll be asking her about two interesting maps they have on the site called Where Are the Poor and Change Makers Map. We'll be back with more on Live and Learn BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Live and Learn. I'm Dashran Johan, and on the show with me today is Deborah Chan. She's the co-founder of Wiki Impact, and she's giving us the 101 on her new platform. So, Deborah, who exactly are you hoping this platform or this website targets? Who's your main target audience?
Great question. I think, you know, as with all businesses or, you know, social enterprises or whatnot, I think they have a specific target audience. And really, I think our first target audience and the first people that we want to be able to serve better are change makers on the ground. Simply because of the experience that we have, the co-founders have gone through, and also the heart of it, right? We realize that changemakers are doing so much. And by changemakers, I don't only mean big foundations and big NGOs, right? What we have seen actually over the course of like a year and a half is that, you know, the great thing about this impact space is that it's so rapidly evolving over time that, you know, it's exciting. And but at the same time, you know, if you don't keep a pulse on it, sometimes, you know, you kind of get lost in it, right? But what we've realized is that there are so many other change makers that are up and coming and rising up. And by that, I mean student-led movements who are, you know, like, you know, the Gen Zs who really want to make a difference. And they're starting even within their own communities, their own schools, their own universities and colleges, right? They are really wanting to get more information and information that is credible. And they want to be able to use their voice as well as their resources to create greater good, right? So we want to be able to serve change makers as a whole better. By you know, giving them information that they need and information that is crucial for their decision making in terms of impact, right? Beyond that, I think what we want to also hope to achieve is to connect change makers with contributors better. I think there is a whole lot of money kind of, you know, floating out there, right? People who want to do good and people who are in organizations who may not have the time to be involved and really get their hands dirty, but they do want to contribute in terms of their resources, whether it's time or whether it's their expertise, right? How can we connect potential contributors as well as, you know, quote unquote, within the contributor space is a big focus on the donors. How can we connect them better to issues on the ground and to change makers who are doing good work, right? As I mentioned just now, I think the impact space is so fast growing, right? That more and more change makers are coming up. And really, it's quite difficult for us to keep track of it because some of them pop out and then, you know, they evolve over time. They change their names over time. How can contributors learn about what's happening within that space and contribute to credible change makers who are doing sustainable, good work on the ground? Is there a better way to do that or not? And so I guess what Wiki Impact hopes to do is for us to create that synergy between change makers as well as contributors.
Mm. Now, what's particularly interesting, Deborah, is on your website, it stated that you're, and I quote, committed to the goal of ending poverty in Malaysia. Talk to me about this. How exactly do y'all aim to end poverty in Malaysia?
Yeah, I know it is a lofty goal. And I think, you know, it is a lofty goal. And I think, you know, I think most of us would have heard that quote, you know, reach for the stars. And I think we need to do so much more within the impact space to make lofty and great goals, right? But also have strategies towards moving towards it. Whilst Wiki Impact is really kind of, you know, connecting with change makers and contributors, and in many ways, I think what we're doing is we're learning about what's happening on the ground. And that's why I think a space like Wiki Impact is necessary, because it's so easy to underestimate, right, the volume and the size of the industry if it's not being galvanized and we don't see it in full force, right? And I think one of the visions of Wiki Impact is really for us to make impact mainstream, because what we really realize is that as companies are evolving and growing, as well as communities are being more enlightened and informed, right? There are more and more people wanting to do good and make an impact and create lasting legacies that will outlast them beyond their lifetime on Earth, right? And this goes with, you know, big CEOs in boardrooms talking about ESGs and, you know, sustainable development goals and things like that. So I think as a nation and as well as globally, people are moving towards wanting to do greater good, right? And I think it would be very, very easy to kind of forsake or take for granted the size of the impact space if it's too fragmented and if it's not galvanized. Hence why Wiki Impact is I think, necessary for such a time as this, because civil society, you and I need to know the size of the industry, number one. And number two, all of us need to realize that all of us have a part to play. Mm-hmm. Sowing into another person's life or in uplifting our communities wherever we are, right, in whichever state we are. I think there is a need for greater empathy for the vulnerable and marginalized. So really, Malaysia is only as strong as its weakest link. I think the government also has lofty goals to move Malaysia towards, you know, a high income earning nation. But at the end of the day, you know, we don't want the high earning income nation to, you know, the income to only come from, you know, the T20s and above, right?
Right.
We want the entire nation to benefit from it. I would say this to that question that you just asked, right? How are we committed to ending ending poverty in Malaysia? I think all of us need to realize that we have a role to play. We have a responsibility, and I speak this with passion because we stand on the shoulders of the people who have gone before us. You know, our grandparents, our parents have given us that privilege to be able to go through proper quality education, and I think we are in we're in a transition where, you know, we have the option and the privilege to also make decisions on where we put our resources, how we spend our money, what kind of impact we want to leave on this earth, right? And so I think, you know, especially for the millennials and the Gen Zs, the current and the upcoming generation, there really is a wave of purpose-led individuals that want to make a difference, and that goal needs to be big enough for people to see it and for people to be involved in it. And so Wiki Impact's role is really to be able to inform and to inspire individuals and corporations to do their part for the vulnerable and the marginalized so that we can grow together as a nation.
Hmm. Now, speaking of the vulnerable, there's something on your site. There's a couple of things on your site. One of it is called Where Are the Poor? It's like one section. And then there's another section called Change Makers Map. What inspired y'all to come up with these sections on your site? And what are you hoping people will take away from looking at these?
Yeah, great question. I think what inspired these two maps was actually a little bit of backstory as when I was involved in the kind of groundwork being in Sabah and in Cambodia. I set up volunteer programs to bridge the gap between urban and, you know, the rural communities. And, you know, you have many, many volunteer programs out there, and I'm sure, you know, you're well versed with it as well. And so as I was there, you know, I set up a volunteer program as well. And one of the volunteers came up to me, and she was a volunteer from downtown KL, from an affluent family. But obviously, you know, kudos to her. You know, she spent 2 weeks with me in rural Cambodia, getting her hands dirty and building literacy centers and so forth. And at the end of the volunteer trip, she came up to me and she said, "Hey, Deb, I really want to do something good, you know, when I go back and continue my studies in university. But I do have a big question to ask you." She asked me, you know, "Actually, does Malaysia have poor people, and where are they?"
Right.
And that hit me like a ton of bricks. You know, that question itself just kept ringing, and it has been for you know, many years, even after I left Cambodia. And that was really the inspiration of why we came up with these two interactive maps. Firstly, with Where Are the Poor in Malaysia, I think it's easy to take for granted that if you're living in downtown KL, that there are no poor communities, right, or, you know, low income communities. And I think the first line of where we wanted to get to was to get people to think about where exactly are the poor in Malaysia by having a visualized map to see where the hotspots are in Malaysia. And that map, if you go on our website, it is actually color gradient. So the darker you get towards the reds, it is the poorer states or the poorer districts in Malaysia. And the greener side of things are the, you know, higher income earning districts or communities in Malaysia. Whilst that map is really just the starting point, showing the hotspots based on the mean income as well as the earning capacity of people within those hotspots, it really is the starting point to get people to think about, really, are there poor within your own communities itself? If I walk, or if I take a drive 15 minutes from where I'm living right now, can I actually see kampong areas or, you know, maybe low income communities around my area? And what can I do in order to actually give back to those communities living actually within my vicinity itself, right? You don't really need to go far. The second map is really the change makers map. So, you know, if you go through that process of where are the poor and you really want to know, right, then you want to be able to find out as well, like, who are those people working in those areas? Who are the change makers and what are their focus areas? So if, you know, someone is particularly interested in perhaps maybe, you know, I have a passion in education and I really want to be able to give back to children and I want to be able to increase literacy in Malaysia, but I want to do it within kind of like in the confines of maybe, you know, my own space in the place where I'm living in, maybe not venture too far. I don't need to pack my my bags to go to another state to do it, then who are the change makers in my area who are actually helping to increase literacy amongst communities, low-income communities within my area? And that's where the change makers map come in. So basically, it's an interactive map where you can hover over. There are hundreds of pins there where they will tell you, you know, who are the change makers, what are they doing, their contact details, and you can get in touch with those change makers on the ground.
Hmm. Now, y'all collect a lot of data. Y'all present all these data in a very interesting way on your site. How are you hoping these the data that you've collected will be used? Are you hoping that, you know, people take this to policymakers and you know, and tell them that this is the problem? We need to change our laws, improve our policies, do make reforms, things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it happens at it's the data that is being presented or the information that is being presented is going to serve people at different levels. Mm-hmm. So for an individual like you and I, it's really to inform and inspire change. That's one. Two is for change makers, where they can, an example would be a change maker, like for example, Souls, right, 247. They got in touch with us when they found out what we were doing, and they were very interested to get more information on the area of education in rural communities in Malaysia, because they had various initiatives and programs you know, in that focus area. And so we got in touch with them and presented a bunch of data to them. And what was used of that data was that because the data was presented sometime at the end of last year, they were in the midst of actually, you know, coming up with programs for year 2021. And so they incorporated and used those data to inform them to make decisions on, you know, who else can they partner with on the ground and which communities are in great need of, you know, maybe more resources, education resources, or training in different areas. So that's another way that change makers can use the data. They can get in touch with us to get more information, or simply kind of, you know, subscribe to our newsletters where we push out data on a bi-monthly basis, or even visit our Instagram page to get information on maybe areas of focus that you're working with. The other way is actually data in that form, right? Obviously, you know, it needs some sort of crunching as well as explanation. And so when it comes to like policy making and all, we obviously, to be honest, we didn't have lofty and great goals like that. All we wanted to do was to be able to present data and see where it goes, right? And continue to innovate and meet the needs of the people who are requiring the data, right? And so what was quite interesting and actually quite exciting for us is that quite recently we partnered up with another research company who has basically arms and legs and connections towards policy making. And so what we did was we partnered with this particular research company to deal with the issue, or rather to raise awareness on the issue of statelessness and the undocumented communities in Malaysia. And as you would know, I think, you know, it's both a sensitive topic, but at the same time, I think it's hard for us to ignore the fact that, you know, stateless and undocumented individuals are living amongst us, and they are part of part of the fabric of Malaysian society. And as long as they're in this nation, you know, how can we make their experience or their living here a little bit better? As a result of the lack of identity, a legal identity for these communities, they are unable to have education, basic education, and I'm talking about, you know, kindergarten and standard 1 to standard 6 education. You know, a lot of them go through kind of childhood illiterate, and this has been ongoing for many kind of generations. And as a result of no education, obviously there's no employment. So that's in a nutshell. What we did with this research company is that we wanted to actually not just raise awareness on the issue, but to hopefully kind of table, you know, the end goal of it would be hopefully to table in some policy recommendations on how we can, you know, uphold the right of education for stateless and undocumented children in Malaysia, starting with, you know, the next generation. If we can do something for the next generation, that would be great. And so our role as Wiki Impact in the process towards policy recommendation is for us to pull in data from all kinds of sources, from change makers, from even the government various people, activists as well, who are working on this issue, to pull in the data and to make sense of it, and then to present it in a public dialogue, which we just, you know, we just did 2 weeks back, actually. And then to have several other roundtables with more change makers for us to understand the issue a little bit better. And then hopefully eventually to kind of, you know, speak to maybe some people within the political space, and then move it towards policy recommendation. The process is long and it is tedious, but I think it's a start to somewhere. And really, I think the start of it the magic of it is that the start of it was really data and taking the time to listen to people, taking the time to gather this information so that the information is easy to understand. And at the end of the day, it is relatable to people. Yeah.
So this sounds like a very, very interesting, exciting platform. It's a very important website, I think, that can be used by change makers. How can people support Wiki Impact?
Yeah, we need all the support we can get. You know, I mean, I think with a space like that, it is really exciting. I think maybe before we go into the support, what I'd like to do is, I think I'd just like to give a shout out to, you know, those people who are listening. If you don't really know what the impact space is about, you don't really know what it is to, you want to do something purposeful and meaningful and fulfilling and satisfying, but you don't really know what the impact space is about, go onto our website. It's www.wikiimpact.com, or visit our Instagram page. It's at WikiImpact in one word. And find out more about what it is to be in the impact space, because on the website itself, you'll be able to find that you can actually grow and you can actually find careers within the impact space, in the NGO space, as well as in corporations who have, you know, CSR departments and things like that. Take a dabble in it, you know, try it out and see what it is, and see if it fits you. I think what I would like to encourage people to do is to really kind of, you know, find their purpose and grow in their purpose. I think everybody has, you know, something to give back, whether it's in terms of your expertise, your time, your resources, there is something to give back. And I think all of us have a part to play. So with regards to the support of Wiki Impact, visit our website, visit Instagram. We're constantly looking for data visualizers. If you have a knack for that, where you are able to read through articles and you're able to kind of visualize it in a nice and pretty way, in a way where people are able to grasp and to absorb the information easily, data visualizers, we want you. If you're a video maker, filmmaker, or whatever, we want to speak to you. If you're a communicator, we also want to talk to you, because we need, you know, more articles being churned out. We want researchers to basically scout through the net, speak to change makers, and come up with really good, credible, data-driven, evidence-based stories that on issues that matter and issues that will push the needle towards greater impact. We're also looking for, I think, a shout out to also change makers, or even people who are sitting on data on social issues in Malaysia. Get in touch with us, because we want to hear your findings. We want to hear your stories on the ground, and we want to be able to amplify that, and hopefully to be able to make use of the data and the findings that you have put so much effort in, and bring it up to another level. And we would love to partner with you. So that's how you can support Wiki Impact at this time and space, and just be involved in the impact industry in one way or another.
And before I let you go, Deborah, would you have a final message for us?
Absolutely. I think it is a, I think there is a change maker in all of us. If you don't already know, there is a space in you that really want to do good, whether that kind of calling or that nudging is right now, or whether it will come in years or months ahead of you, there is a change maker in all of us. And I think we need all to ignite that change maker. And if you don't know where to start, I think some of you who would have that stirring, that change maker stirring already, if you don't know where to start, I would say this, that if you see a need, meet a need. You don't need to, you know, look out for another person to meet that need. If you read about that need, you know, and if something stirs in you, just meet that need, because that's your starting point of finding your purpose and growing in your purpose. So ignite that change maker in you. And I think Malaysia, your community, and globally, it would be a better place.
On that note, thank you so much for joining me today, Deborah.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. It has been a joy. And thank you for just listening and leaning in.
I've been speaking with Deborah Chan, co-founder of Wiki Impact. If you missed any part of our conversation, you can check out the podcast on the BFM app, bfm.my, or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Dashran Johan, and this has been Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.